Good morning and welcome once again to In Focus. I'm John Sims, and joining me this morning, Clinton McCoy, Director of Operations for Carter Blood Care in East Texas. Good morning, Clinton. Great to have you with us.
Morning, John. Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
You bet. Don't forget, In Focus is available online. Just go to ktbb.com/infocus, and In Focus is uploaded to our website by the day after the show airs. Clinton, we know it's the time of year when schools are back in session. Much of our lives revolve around what that means for our families, extracurricular activities, even our Friday nights for those who are involved in football. And I guess there are four or five people in Texas who like football.
A few of us follow high school football.
Yeah,
yes, sir.
You bet. I'm among them. The reality, though, is for those whose focus it is to sustain our community's blood supply, fall reminds them that almost 25% of the total annual blood collections come from high school blood drives. Very interesting statistic there. That means faculty, students, others who work in the high schools are contributing almost a quarter of the blood that's available to patients in regional medical facilities. Carter Blood Care needs blood donors from all areas of our community to support the great efforts already underway at our high schools. And again, joining me today, Clinton McCoy. You're the Director of Operations for Carter Blood Care in East Texas. Now, Clinton, you and your team, you're the ones responsible for making sure the blood being collected is steadily meeting the requests from the hospital customers. And
yes, sir.
That's mainly who you're doing business with,
I take it.
Also looking for community allies who have ideas on how to keep blood donation top of mind when you have other things to occupy your interests and time. And at the very top of that list, of course, is blood donors. But
yes,
it goes beyond that, as we'll get to a little later in the show. Now, Carter Blood Care is the primary service provider for blood collection and transfusion services in East Texas. And actually well beyond that. As a matter of fact, the nonprofit serves more than 180 hospitals and medical facilities in a 50-plus county area of East Texas. Now, let's break down that geography. You're based in Bedford, which is outside Fort Worth, and Carter Blood Care in Texas covers 50 counties all throughout. Well, let's go ahead and give the geographic breakdown, and then tell us about the area that you're responsible for.
Sure. Overall, that geographic breakdown is, if you take the DFW Metroplex and kind of expand it out to the cities and suburbs around that, that's serviced by our Bedford system, which is where our home office is, kind of all the way to the east to Mesquite Garland, to the west or Stephenville, Wichita Falls area. To the south, they service the central Texas area, which is Waco, Temple, Belton, Killeen. Bell County is kind of the southern border, with Lampasas County being the western border.
Uh-huh.
And then the service region that I'm responsible for is kind of northeast Texas. If you take Tyler as a center and you go out to Athens, up to Wills Point, Sulphur Springs, Paris, up across to Clarksville, down through Mount Pleasant, Marshall, Carthage, through Henderson, and come back to Palestine. That's kind of the northeast Texas region, and that's the region that we're servicing here out of Tyler.
And in Tyler, you're at 815 South Baxter, where there has been one blood bank or another since I don't know when.
The 1950s.
The old Stewart Blood Center started in the early 1950s.
Yes,
I don't know if that's where they were located at that time, but 815 South Baxter is an old address and a very familiar one to our listeners. There have been quite a few changes since Carter Blood Care took over operations from Stewart. So tell us where you're located now. You have, I guess, basically three outposts in your East Texas service area?
Yes, sir. So the Tyler region is serviced by the 815 South Baxter office, and that's our hub for the distribution of blood to all of the hospitals in East Texas, which is really convenient because both Mothers and UT, formerly ETMC, are just around the creek from us, so we're able to get blood there pretty quickly. Paris, we have a donor center in the Paris area to collect supplies. They bring it back to Tyler, and then we distribute to the Paris Regional Medical Center. And then we have a donor center in Longview and to collect blood donations, bring it back to Tyler for processing, and then it's shipped back to Longview Regional and Good Shepherd there in the Longview area.
Okay, very good. And that's going to be real convenient for some folks, maybe not so convenient to others if you want to visit one of the blood donor centers.
Right.
But you do have weekly blood drives around the area, so plenty of opportunities for people to donate blood, even if they don't have a donor center right in their backyard.
Yes, sir. We run almost weekly blood drives in Jacksonville, Palestine, Mount Pleasant, Marshall, Carthage, Henderson. If you look on our website, and put in your zip code, you'll find a blood drive near you pretty quickly.
And by the way, that's where I was going next. The website is carterbloodcare.org, and the phone number in Tyler is 903-363-0400. There is also another regional 1-800 number that people can call, and I take it that if they're not right in the Tyler area, that's the best one for them to dial up, 1-800-DONATE-4?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay. If you need any information, general information, 1-800-DONATE-4 is the quickest way to get that.
Mm-hmm. And that is the numeral 4 at the very end there. Moving along here, as we talk to Clinton McCoy, Director of Operations for Carter Blood Care in East Texas. I'm John Sims. This is In Focus. Let's move on by Clinton giving us a brief status of the community blood supply right now.
Sure. As you know, as you mentioned, most of our blood drives comes from the support from high schools. And high schools are back in season, and we are seeing a great uptick in our collections by being able to go out and go visit a captive audience who has to be at school, and they are willing to donate blood. They get juice cookies. They get out of class. Mm. And I remember my days in high school, and getting out of class was always a priority for me in high
well,
school.
Well, so, I've been there, done that.
Yeah, so we're really enjoying being back in that. And on our community blood supply right now is good. Generally, we like to operate on a 3-day supply. And so when we say, hey, our supplies are good right now, that means we got at least 3 days worth of blood on our shelves for our hospitals and for patients in our community. It was not like that earlier in the summer, but we've had a great response, and we're back up to a normal operating supply.
Good, and we do want to talk about that a little bit later on in the show, because it made big news, and for now at least, the situation has been resolved, although the need goes on.
Yes,
now, more of the country's blood donors are over age 50 than any other age group. That's interesting in light of the fact that you say you have so much success with the high schools. What's the significance of that 50-plus age group as you see it?
Well, the main significance is that as people age, you're never too old to donate blood, but you age out, which means you start getting more medications, you start having more malignancies, cancer therapies. As we get older, you know, the body starts to wear down, and you're no longer healthy or eligible enough to donate blood. And if you look at the history of blood donation, when we talked about Stuart starting in the 50s, that was pretty much how everything started across the nation. It was born out of World War II, was the regional blood bank model, in response to the needs for soldiers on the battlefield. And so as it's gone on, that generation, it was a civic duty to donate blood. The generation of right now that's in their late 50s to early 70s, it was passed on to them by their parents, I guess the baby boomer generation, and they were the largest generation there in the workforce, so obviously they would be the largest generation in our donor pool. But as they have aged out and no longer eligible to donate, yes, we're getting a good chunk from high school students, but that's only 9 months out of the year.
Right.
And it's kind of coming all at once. And we lose that donor pool from about 20 years old to 50 year olds. Doesn't still stay in the same progress that the 50 year olds are donating. So we're losing more donors than we're gaining. We're losing more donors and we're gaining new donors in the younger age groups. And what's significant is we could see in the horizon in the next few years where we don't have enough donors to meet the demand of our community.
What are blood centers doing precisely to change or to address the challenges that you're facing along that line and along really any lines that you face on a day-in, day-out basis?
We're having to rechange our model and our way of donor recruitment, and that's kind of we mentioned earlier, needing community allies to help us out with that, is that in the past you could call somebody on the landline at their home and say, hey, it's time to donate blood. You're eligible to donate blood. They would schedule an appointment and they would come in. Well, most people don't even have a landline at their home anymore.
Yeah.
And so you call them on your cell phone. Well, unfortunately, we're competing with the spam callers calling you about winning a cruise.
Ugh.
Exactly. So nobody wants to, you know, are you going to pick up a number from a 1-800 number or from even an 817 in the Bedford or a 903 here in East Texas? Because now they can spoof local numbers to trick you into answering the phone call on the cruise. So we're competing with that dynamic, and so we're having to find new ways. Well, should we send text messages out to donors? Some people like that. Some people don't. Spammers take advantage of text message spamming now as well. Emails. Well, everybody's scared to click on a link in an email now because of phishing scams. So it's really a weird dynamic where we're having to try and find a way to reach that younger generation and get them into and activate their altruistic nature, because we know they want to give. The studies are there. They want to care. They want to donate. They want to support a cause. How do we reach them and get them bought into our cause? That's where we're having to really strategically try and change things.
In the meantime, here we are on the radio. You can turn your radio on. You don't have to worry about somebody hacking that or phishing or anything like that. So we're glad to help.
Absolutely. This is a great avenue to do it.
Sure. Now, this is a reminder that there is no substitute for human blood, and hospitals can't do what they do, saving lives in miraculous ways, without the generosity of volunteer blood donors. Now, the blood already on the shelves is what they use when emergencies happen, and not just emergencies, right? Many planned surgeries also require the use of blood transfusions.
John, you're absolutely right. The community may not realize it, that Carter Blood Care distributes 800 blood products to all of our territories every single day. And this blood is distributed on the order of physicians. So a doctor comes in, they're seeing a patient. That patient is our friend, family, neighbor, and they request the blood. We then send it to the hospital. That's what makes a blood transfusion happen. In order to meet that need of 800 units per day, we actually have to see 1,000 people per day across all of our service territories. And that's because, you know, you're going to have a 15 to 20% deferral rate. Somebody's iron is going to be too low. They traveled to a malaria zone, or, you know, they're not feeling well and healthy that day. So we kind of got to oversee in order to meet the exact need of donors each day.
Okay. And blood donors, the essential link between the ordering physician and the patient whose life often depends on that transfusion. Volunteer blood donors providing one of the most important treatments for patients in need, and the opportunity, again, I guess we're kind of repeating ourselves here, but maybe we can't do that too much. We be part of the patient care process in the community.
We consider blood donors to be first responders. You know, they came out, they donated blood a week or two before the crisis happened, before the patient needed surgery, because you never know when those events are going to come up. So they're truly first responders out there, giving in advance.
John Sims on In Focus this morning. Welcome. If you're just joining us, I'm talking to Clinton McCoy, Director of Operations for Carter Blood Care in East Texas, based in Tyler at 815 South Baxter, also with donor centers in Longview and Paris in this 22-county service area. The phone number for the Tyler office is 903-363-0400, and you can also reach Carter Blood Care through a 1-800 number, 1-800-DONATE and the numeral 4. Website, easy to remember, carterbloodcare.org. Clinton, how many donors do you have right now, and how many more do you think you need at this point?
It's astounding, but we have about 120,000 unique blood donors in our service territory, which sounds like a lot, but we've learned that 60 to 70% of those donors are first-timers. So 60%, 70% of our donors every year are first-time donors, which means we're losing 20 to 30% donors aren't coming back to donate a second time. Nationally, if you look at the statistics, only 37% of the population is eligible to donate blood. So that means only, you know, 63% of the people that would even consider donating, we have to knock them out right off the bat. The scary thing is that only 4% of our population in the service area actually donates blood. So 4% of our population is supplying 100% of the blood for our friends, families, and neighbors. I think it's time that these people get some help.
All righty. How many times a year can somebody give blood?
Well, if you do whole blood, you can donate 6 times a year, which is every 56 days based on FDA regulations. If you donate platelets, you can donate up to 26 times a year, which is you're eligible every 7 to 14 days. And a person can donate double reds, which is a double donation of just red cells every 120 days.
Okay, so platelets and double reds, is that the same as red cells, or am I I'm kind of a learning curve with some of this?
Sure, yeah. So it's the technical term. So when you donate whole blood, which is what is in your body, we consider whole blood to be the total product of red blood cells, plasma, and platelets. Those are the three components that make up whole blood. Your red blood cells are what carry oxygen to your organs and to your body, keep you breathing, keep you alive. Plasma is your fluids, so it's mostly water, and then proteins and clotting factors. And then your platelets are those cells that are designed to clot, so they make scabs and they help plug holes. Those are the three main components of your blood. So what we do with a whole blood donation at our center, which is what people are most common with, it's a big bag, one needle, takes 10 to 15 minutes. We actually take that back to our center and we spin it in a centrifuge at a high speed. And just like oil and water, your red blood cells are heavier than your plasma and platelets. So they sink to the bottom of the bag, and we're able to pull out the plasma and platelets and just have a unit of red cells, which is what most people are familiar with. When you see it on the TV show and they're giving a blood transfusion in an emergency room, they're hanging a bag of red blood cells. That's not all that you can transfuse to patients. Different products or different cellular devices have different needs for patients. So if you donate red cells, we go through an automation process where we just get the red blood cells out of your body, and we actually return the plasma and platelets back into the donor. So you just lose those red cells. Platelets are the inverse of that. Through an automated process, we remove the platelets from the donor, and we return the red blood cells back to the donor. We just keep their platelets for that patient.
I see. Now, some folks in the audience might be thinking, I can't give blood 6 times a year, or platelets 26 times a year. Can they do it less often than that? I'm sure they can.
I would love it if people would do it less often than six times a year, because most of our donors just donate one time per year. So if everybody just donated one more time, if you donate once a year, if you came in twice a year, if you donate two times a year, you came in three times a year, it would be a huge boost to our inventory, especially during those summer months when school is out and we lose 25% of our donor population. Having the community come in and give during those times, we would probably never see another blood crisis again.
Mm-hmm. Talking to Clinton McCoy, the Director of Operations for Carter Blood Care in East Texas. I'm John Sims. This is In Focus, the main office, Carter Blood Care in East Texas, donor center, office, whatever you want to call it, 815 South Baxter and Tyler, behind Tyler Junior College. Been there for years, going back to the Stewart Blood Center days. And the number is 903-363-0400. You can also go on the web, carterbloodcare.org, or 1-800-DONATE-4, and that is the numeral 4 after donate. Now, some of the different ways that blood and blood products are used for hospital patients. Let's talk about that a bit.
There's a wide and varying array of medical needs for blood donors or for blood donation. So during childbirth, if bleeding occurs with the mother or baby, a true emergency to save either the mom's or the baby's life will require many units of blood, platelets, red cells, to keep them both alive. Open heart surgery. We do a lot of open hearts here at one of our hospitals, and they're going to require red cells, platelets, and then other products to keep them going. Hip or knee replacement surgery, which has become very common these days, can actually need a unit or two of blood in order to finish the procedure. Organ transplants are huge users of donated blood because we're removing an organ. It's an intensive process. The patient is going to require several units of blood to stay alive while they go through the transplant. And then all the other things, the things that make it on the news, if it bleeds, it leads. Car accidents, fires, shootings, those actually are only probably 10 to 15% of what blood is used for. The other 80-85% is these common everyday things that people just don't think about requiring blood, but it's actually a necessary part of our medical infrastructure in order to be able to do cancer treatments, in order to help mothers and babies in labor. We have to have blood on the shelf for them.
Sure thing. Now, Carter Blood Care, you tell us, as the Director of Operations for Carter Blood Care, you're telling us that one pint of blood can save up to three lives. Talk to our audience just about exactly what that means. I think we may have covered a little bit of this earlier, going over the different blood components, but let's get into it maybe just a little more deeply.
Absolutely. It goes right back to what I was saying we can do with that unit of whole blood, which is the most common donation. When we take it to our center and we process that unit of blood, we separate it into its red blood cells, plasma, and platelets. Each one of those products that are derived from whole blood can go to a different patient. Mm-hmm. So when we pull the red blood cells out, it'll go into an independent donation bag. The plasma can go into an independent donation bag, and the platelets would go into an independent donation bag. And then each one of those red cells can go to one hospital to help somebody that's bleeding out. Plasma can go to a burn victim, and then your platelets could go to a cancer patient going to chemotherapy.
Very good.
Yes, sir.
And as far as what is involved in giving blood, this is where we get down to the nitty-gritty.
Yes, sir.
The actual, you've decided you're going to be a donor. What happens from there on out?
Well, it's really actually very easy. It doesn't take too long. The actual donation process for whole blood is only 10 to 15 minutes. The rest of the time, you're answering a questionnaire, and then you're eating juice and cookies and snacks at the end. So you need to the best way is to schedule an appointment if you can. That way we can make sure we give you the devoted time that you need. Walk-ins are always welcome. We will not turn a walk-in away.
Okay.
We will take you in. It just might mean you have to wait 5 minutes for the person that made the appointment to get through a little bit sooner, but we will take you in all day long. So when you come in, you're going to take a brief medical questionnaire, and we're going to ask you questions about where you travel to, your history, your health history. Make sure it's safe for you to donate, because our number one priority is the patient at the hospital and healing them. Our other priority, kind of 1A and 1B, is the health of our donors. We want to make sure that you're healthy enough and that the donation process doesn't hurt you. So we'll ask you several medical questions, what kind of medications you're on, like I said, where you traveled to in the past year, past 3 years, where you were in the 50s and 60s and 70s, things of that nature. And then we do a mini physical. We check your blood pressure, your pulse rate, your temperature. We do a finger stick, and we take a little drop of blood to check your hemoglobin, which mm-hmm. is the amount of red blood cells in your body, commonly referred to as checking iron. Everybody says, oh, you're checking my iron. It's actually checking your red blood cell count. And then we do the actual blood donation. And then at the end, you get drinks and snacks. We got Powerade, juice, Chips Ahoy, Oreo cookies, Nutter Butter cookies, all sorts of fun stuff for you to dine on and refresh with.
That sounds like enough of an incentive in itself. Not everybody can donate blood. We'll get into this in a little bit more detail in the next couple of minutes. But the drinks and snacks, your body is depleted, right. I guess would be one way of putting it. You feel maybe a little weak, a little queasy. And let's kind of start there and explain really why it's so important to have those drinks and snacks afterwards.
Well, it's one is to rehydrate you. You're going to lose 500 milliliters of fluid out of your body when you donate blood. So we want to get some hydration in you. We also want to get some, you know, contrary to the obesity epidemic we keep bringing about, we want to get some sugar in you because that sugar is pretty much the basic element, and it's a real quick jump start for your body to increase metabolism and to get some energy back into you so that you're not feeling weak, so that you're not feeling tired. It's just almost like an adrenaline shot of sugar into the stomach to help bring you back up to normal levels.
Mm-hmm.
We recommend everybody eat a good meal, drink plenty of fluid. This isn't like going to your doctor for a cholesterol test or anything like that. We want you to be full and healthy and hydrated when you come in, and then we're going to help replenish that after your donation.
Very good. Now, you also, I understand, want to tell us about a new way for people to do the medical questionnaire, and this is called Quick Screen. Tell us about that and how it works.
We are excited. This is one of those ways of trying to reach out to the younger generation. So one of the longest parts of the blood donation process is actually answering all the questions, going through all 40 or 60 questions on your health questionnaire. And traditionally, you had to come in, we would put you in front of a computer, and you had to answer your questions there, and then our staff would come in, they would review every question while you're in the room, sitting there, staring at a wall for 10, 15 minutes. With Quick Screen, you can go to our Carter Blood Care app, click on Quick Screen the day of your donation, and you can log in, register your name, your date of birth, and you can answer all those questions on your tablet, on your smartphone, from the computer at your office before you come in. So you can take 5-10 minutes, answer those questions. When you come into our office, we say, are you here to donate? Yes, you already registered. Great. We take you straight back. Our staff just has to review the questions. It takes them about 5 minutes. Do your physical, and you're onto the chair. So it saves the donor 10 to 15 minutes of that donation time and allows us to speed up the process, plus interact with people in new technology.
Okay, let's go into a little bit more detail here about who actually qualifies to give blood. There are some aspects of that that I don't think we've touched on yet.
Okay.
And there is an age cutoff. Let's just kind of maybe start there and talk about who should be thinking about maybe going in there and making a blood donation.
Sure. Like I mentioned earlier, there's no end age for blood donation. We got donors who are 80, 90 years old, well and healthy, still coming in. The minimum age is 16 years old. And any parents listening, if you want to give your kids something or get them started on the altruistic path, bring them in on their 16th birthday. You have to sign a parental consent form still, and they need a photo ID. Even when school's not in session, if it's during the summer, they can come in with that consent form. Other than that, 17-year-olds, all you have to do is have a valid photo ID. So a state license, government license, anything like that will work. And then weigh at least 110 pounds. And the reason for that is we want to make sure you have enough blood volume in order to lose a pint of blood. And then present, like I said, government photo ID, and be in good general health. So feeling well. If you're having a down day, allergies are attacking you. I mean, I'm getting allergies hits right now. But your allergies are down, or if you're diabetic and you're having a bad blood sugar day, you might want to wait till your body's more regular.
Maybe under a little bit of stress, probably not be a very good day to go in.
If you're having a really tough day at work and stressed out and anxious, you know, wait till the next day and you've calmed down a little bit before you come in.
Sure. Now, most medications don't prevent you from donating, but you can review those medications on the website, I understand, which is carterbloodcare.org. And while we're at it, let's give out that 1-800 number again. It's 1-800-DONATE-4, which I believe translates into 1-800-366-2834 if you're more numerically oriented.
Yes,
the main donor center and office in East Texas, of course, in Tyler, along with the ones in Longview and Paris, but the one in Tyler at 815 South Baxter, 903-363-0400. Well, we've covered a lot of ground here this morning, Clinton, and we still have a few minutes to go. Some interesting things that I think we ought to try and get to as we visit with Clinton McCoy with Carter Blood Care on In Focus. I'm John Sims. there are some important statistics that you, I know you want to pass along, and let's just kind of go through there, those fairly quickly, starting with the one about every 90 seconds.
Yeah, every 90 seconds, a patient in our Carter Blood Care Service area receives a blood transfusion. So that's 600 to 800 patients a day are receiving a unit of blood somewhere in the Carter Blood Care Service region.
All righty. Nobody gets a blood transfusion without an order from a doctor. That's another important one.
Sure. And it's one of those very, very big misnomers. You know, we can't come in and you can't just, you know, give us blood and then we take it across the street to the hospital to give it to somebody that's in the hospital. It takes processing time. We have to go through the testing through a medical laboratory facility to get that unit of blood ready for a transfusion. And then it's up to the facility's doctor and physician to actually write a prescription. They write a prescription for the number of units, the type of blood, whether it's red cells, plasma, or platelets, based on the indicators that the patient is having.
Okay. Carter Blood Care, of course, we mentioned earlier, maybe in somewhat different language, is the community not-for-profit 501c3 blood center serving more than 180 hospitals and medical facilities in North Central and East Texas. And a lot of this information, if not all of it, you can pretty much find on the website. We'll give that out again, carterbloodcare.org. One thing that kind of jumps out at me here, the rarest blood type is the blood type that is not on the shelf when the patient needs it. You need all types of blood.
Every day we need donors of all types of blood to come in. Blood has a shelf life. It's just like the bottle of milk in your refrigerator has a date of expiration on it. A unit of blood has a date of expiration on it. For a red blood cell, that's 42 days from the date of donation, not from the date it's ready to go, from the date of donation. So it takes us 5 to 7 days to get it tested, ready, and stored, and then distributed to a hospital, that means we only have 35 days to transfuse that unit of blood before it could expire. And we are set up to make sure blood does not expire as the stewards of the community's gifts, because this is really, it's the community's blood supply. We're merely the conduit between the community and the hospital. And so as stewards of that, we want to make sure they don't. So we're running all day, every day to every single hospital, rotating their stock, kind of like the milkman does over at Brookshire's to make sure that's not expiring up front. We're doing the same thing with the blood. What's really scary is platelets have a shelf life of 5 days. So when somebody donates platelets, we got to get them out and get them out quick to the hospitals to be used.
Okay, coming down close to the end of the show, you had a real crisis on your hands earlier this summer. That seems to have been resolved, although we don't want to put the wrong idea into people's heads and say, oh, well, they don't need blood, because you always do. How was that resolved, and how are things going right now?
It got really scary this summer. Right there at the end of July, we got down to less than a half-day supply of blood on the shelf, where if you paid attention to the media, you saw us saying, hey, if we don't have donors come in, we are not going to have blood in a day or two. We were down to a few hours of supply. If a mass tragedy, a shooting, something happens in our service area, we weren't comfortable saying we would be able to meet the spike in demand for an unforeseen event. And we kind of put that out in the media, and we had a great response from the community. We have a great community that responds when the call is made. We got overwhelmed with donors. Our staff was worn out, which is a good thing. And we got the blood supply back up to, like I mentioned earlier, a three-day supply. And we're rotating at that right now, but we need that constant flow of 1,000 donors a day to maintain that. When we start seeing a decrease in that is when we will have another crisis on our hands.
1,000 donors throughout your entire service area?
Service area, yes, sir.
From Bedford all the way to wherever?
Okay. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Quickly here, just want to go over a few things. You do take monetary donations. It's blood donations you really need, but you'll take money, and you have a foundation that takes care of that. And I guess people can go on the website and find out how to donate money if they like.
They can go on the website. We do have a foundation that helps us out to stay ahead of medical technologies and to be able to afford equipment like that. People are able to donate gifts of that nature to the foundation. Yes, sir.
Okay. Volunteers besides blood donors, you're looking at people mainly, or if not strictly, that can help you out with community events, blood drives, at schools, churches, wherever.
We need people to find us the blood donors. We can, if we park a bus, they won't come. But if we park a bus and somebody goes out there and makes the ask, they will come. And so we need those people to work the crowds and go find the donors to bring them to the buses.
Okay, how to set up a blood drive. It's easy. And Tyler, call 903-363-0400 or call that number 1-800-DONATE-4. And you can also check the website, carterbloodcare.org. And no special events or fundraisers going on right now, but you're looking at maybe planning some for maybe a few months down the road. So stay tuned for that.
Yeah, be on the lookout. We don't have anything coming up in the last quarter of 2019, but we're in 2020 planning season right now.
Okay, and we are just about out of time for this show, so we'll wrap it up right here. Clinton McCoy with Carter Blood Care, Director of Operations in East Texas, has been our guest this morning on In Focus. Clinton, I just want to take a moment to say thanks for coming in and talking about this really important topic.
Well, thank you, John. We appreciate it very much.
You bet. Clinton McCoy, Carter Blood Care, our guest this morning on In Focus. I'm John Sims. As always, thank you for joining us, and we will see you again next week on In Focus.